Amen and amen. Good morning. I'm not Andy. Man, it is so good to see you. Can we just do this for just a moment? Did y'all get those words of that last song? Jesus paid it all. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the scripture didn't say, boy, he just almost paid for it all? He was just short of paying for it all. If he had been just short of paying for it all, you'd still be lost. Jesus paid it all. Isn't that marvelous? Man, I tell you what, thank you all for leading us in worship, and thank you for letting me come and be here these next 4 Sundays, Lord willing. And I tell you, I know, and I'm going to preach here in just a minute. And if you want to go ahead and open your Bible to Luke chapter 22, feel free to do that, Luke chapter 22. But I want to just mention a couple of things to you that I think are important that I've learned from being a pastor for 45 years, okay? It's real different. You know, you've been so blessed, Arrow Heights Baptist Church. I mean, Bob was here for, what, 120 years or something like that, you know? Isn't that awesome? I mean, you know, what was it, 40 years? Wasn't that right? Okay. Man, what a great guy. I love Bob. I mean, what a great, great man. And then Andy came and was here for all these years, and you've been blessed with wonderful pastors and preachers and teachers and people who loved you and people who had a vision. And I just want to say a couple of things to you because you're in dangerous territory. All right, you're in dangerous territory. You are a wonderful church. And you're going to be a great opportunity, not for anybody, but for somebody. There is one person out there. It's not like there's a whole bunch of people that you could say, well, that guy do good, this guy do good. No, that's not it at all. Right now, and I speak from experience, right now, there is some pastor somewhere, and don't limit yourself. Be nationwide in your search. Don't limit yourself. Be nationwide. Be worldwide. Don't limit yourself in any way. Because somewhere on this planet, I don't know where he is, but somewhere on this planet, there is a pastor right now who has a stirring in his heart. And God's beginning to do something in him. And he's probably going home from work from time to time and saying to his wife, honey, I don't know what God's up to, but there's something going on in my heart. And it may be that he even hears from his wife first. I've been there. It may be that his wife may say to him today after church, she may say, sweetheart, have you ever felt like maybe God's up to something in our ministry right now? God's stirring us. Boy, I remember when the Lord brought me to South Tulsa and there wasn't anybody any more surprised than I was about that. And I just had no idea that God had in store for me, and I hope you'll let me get a little emotional about it, but I had no idea that God had in store for me 8 and a half, nearly 9 of the most wonderful years of our life. Some of those precious people are here this morning. And I remember when God began to stir in my heart and then begin to say to me, I've got something else for you. And so right now, that's exciting. Right now, there's some pastor somewhere that God's stirring his heart and God's getting him ready for you. And so you've got to pray and to seek God's will and to look for God's best and to know that God's in control of this whole deal. And you've got to pray and seek the right people for that search committee. And that search committee has got to pray and seek God. And I just want to say this to you. You must be 100% committee. You know, I mean, when God begins to move you and work with you and brings you to pastors and pastors to you, and you start working that process, I believe that God's plan is to make you absolutely, totally, completely one mind, one heart. And until he does that, you just keep looking. You just keep searching. God's got a plan, Arrow Heights. He's got a man. And don't get in a hurry. You're a great opportunity for somebody, but don't let that make you prideful. Okay? Trust God. Believe God. He's got a great plan. Give him plenty of time to do what he wants to do. Amen? All right, that's sermon number one. Okay? Now, I want us to look together in Luke 22, and we're going to spend these 4 weeks, Lord willing, in Luke 22. I'm really not a topical preacher. I'm an expositional preacher. And so it's kind of hard for me to say, well, we're going to do this topic for 4 weeks. I really don't do that very well. And so over the last several months, the Lord has been taking me through the book of Luke and has been giving me insight and some thoughts and some different things. And so I just really felt like the Lord was saying to me the other day that we ought to just start in about verse 14 of Luke chapter 22 and just spend these next 4 weeks together just absorbing Luke 22. Would that be okay? That we would just kind of walk through it together, and particularly as we move toward the Easter season, we'll learn some things from the garden here in a couple of weeks. We'll look at Peter and some of his challenges. We'll look at some wonderful things. So we're just going to take Luke 22, and if you want to read the first 14 verses to bring us up to where we are, you can do that. But then the next 4 weeks, we're going to take Luke 22, beginning verse 14, and we're just going to walk through these verses pretty well to the end of the chapter, okay? And we'll have a wonderful time in doing that. But this morning, what I want us to talk about is missing the intimacy of Jesus. Now, here's where we are. In a moment, we'll stand and read beginning in verse 14. But here's where we are. Jesus now is planning the last Passover with his disciples. He is hours away from the betrayal, from the crucifixion, days away then from the resurrection. And he is planning this last event with his disciples. He has told them that he wants them to go and get ready for this Passover service, this Passover meal. They've said, how do we do that? He has told them to go to a particular place. There'll be a particular man. Tell that man what they need, that there's an upper room furnished for us. And all that worked out. And so beginning in verse 14, we hear Jesus say some things as they have the Last Supper, that last Passover together. Now, I want you to stand with me, if you would, in honor of the Word of the Lord and in honor of the Lord of the Word. And I want to read to you beginning in verse 14, okay? Luke 22, beginning in verse 14. And I'll be teaching out of the New American Standard Bible over these next few weeks. So if you have one of those, bring it. If you have it on your phone, use it. But the NASB, look at what Jesus has to say. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this, and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. Are you kidding me? Good night. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, here's what I want us to do this morning, and when we walk out of here in a few minutes, I want us to be able to say, as believers in Christ, I will not miss being intimate with my Lord Jesus. Now, church, let me share something with you that I believe is true. I'm not a prophet in the sense of a prophet biblically, other than I have the gift of prophecy for telling the Word of God, but I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But I think the time has come, and is coming more so every day, when you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, must be more intimate with our Lord than we've ever been before. There's never been a darker day in America. There's never been a darker day in this world. Let me tell you something I know. Now, last Sunday, you had your last Sunday with Andy as pastor. And let me tell you something I know from last Sunday to today. We are 7 days closer to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that to be true. Don't know when He's coming. Don't have any idea about that. Only the Father knows that. But I know we are 7 days closer than when you met in this place last Sunday morning. And I know that we are closer to the man of sin being revealed upon this earth. I know that we are closer to this world becoming more and more separated from God. I know that we are closer to a time when sin is going to run more rampant than it is now, and it's running more rampant now than you and I have ever seen it. And that being the case, we better be real serious about being intimate with the Lord Jesus. And so what I want us to look at is Jesus was trying to be extremely intimate with His apostles. Now I want you to notice something, and you want to keep your Bible handy and keep it close, because we'll look at a lot of words and a lot of things out of the Scripture. But I want you to look with me at something. In the Greek New Testament, there are emphatic words. Now, we have emphatic words in the English. We just don't mark them and use them too much or talk about them too much. But in the Greek language, there are emphatic words. And emphatic words are found in the language either by their place in the sentence or by the ending of particular words. And when you find emphatic words, you need to do what you would think. You give them emphasis. And even when you read those words in Scripture, you emphasize those words. And so I've gone through this passage of Scripture, and I've marked all the emphatic words. And I'm going to show you some of them, and it's going to make a world of difference in the picture that we paint of what's going on as we look this passage of Scripture. For example, I want you to look at this. When the hour had come, He reclined at the table, and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired. That little phrase, earnestly desired, is emphatic. All right, so when Jesus was speaking to them, He didn't just say, hey, I've desired something here. He said, I have earnestly desired. And the word desired is an interesting word. It means to set your heart on something. Something is deep in your heart. In fact, it's actually a word that can mean to lust after. But it's a word that you're longing for something, you're craving for something. There's something happening that you need and you want and you've planned and you've prepared. And so Jesus says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover. That's emphatic. I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover. He'd had other Passovers with them. There'd been other times they'd eaten the Passover meal. But he says, men, look, there's something here you need to understand. I have looked forward, I have craved, I have lusted, if you may. I have earnestly desired this Passover. And as you go through this passage of Scripture, you see over and over, and I'll show you those words as we walk through, but you see over and over as Jesus is emphasizing wanting this time with his disciples. And I don't think there's any doubt that Jesus is wanting just hours before the prayer in the garden, the agony of the garden, just hours before the mock trials, just hours before the flogging and the crucifixion. I think Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, is saying to his disciples, I want an intimate time with you. And they go through the supper, and they get to the end of the supper. Jesus had talked about being betrayed. And verse 23 says, and they, is emphatic, and they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. And there arose also a dispute. That word dispute means a quarrel. It means strife. And there arose a dispute among them. Look at this. As to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. That word greatest in the Greek language is the word mega. Magnificent. Mega. Jesus is longing for intimacy with these guys. And they're saying, who's the best? Who's the greatest? Jesus was looking for intimacy, and they were missing it. Now, beloved, the last thing I want to do at this point in my life, I'll be 71 next week. You can leave gifts at the table. Be fine. No, please don't. I'll be 71 next week. And the last thing I want to do at this point in my life is miss intimacy with my Lord. So understanding that, I want us to walk through this passage of Scripture, and I want to share with you three truths that you and I can do not to miss intimacy. And every one of us, when we walk out of here in a few minutes, every one of us should be able to say, I can do that. I can absolutely do that. Now, here's the first truth that I want to give you. If you're a note taker, here's the first truth I want to get. And you'll discover I'm very easy to outline, okay? Here's the first truth I want you to hear. If we don't want to miss intimacy, stay kingdom focused. Don't let this world be your focus. Don't let your own life be your focus. Don't let your own plans be your focus. Don't let your own desires be your focus. Just stay kingdom focused. Now, I want you to notice the way Jesus was doing that. Now look with me as we go back in this passage of Scripture. Look with me in verse 15. And Jesus says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, look closely at verse 16. For I say to you, and I shall never again, and the words never again are emphatic. So he says, I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, this is my last Passover until the kingdom of God. I'm not going to experience this again until the kingdom of God. I'm not going to be a part of this until the kingdom of God. And then he goes on in verse 17. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this, share it among yourselves. For I say to you, now he'd already said up here in verse 16, for I say to you, now in verse 18, for I say to you, I will not emphatic. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. So Jesus is focused on the kingdom. Now I got to ask you something, and you'll discover in my teaching, I ask lots of questions, and I don't ask to put anybody on the spot or even expect us to answer in a service like this, but just help us think a little bit. Asking questions helps me as I study and try to learn. So I can't help but say, what is the kingdom of God? And apparently it hadn't come yet when Jesus said this, because he says, I'm not going to do this until it's fulfilled in the kingdom. I'm not going to do this until the kingdom of God comes. And so Jesus is saying something to us that we don't want to miss. Now, beloved, I believe, as I've tried to study through this, I believe the kingdom of God, now listen, I believe the kingdom of God is at the end of all the ages. I think there's going to be a time when our Lord Jesus is going to literally return back to this earth. I believe, and you don't have to believe this with me, this is just my preference, I believe that there's going to be a great tribulation that we're going to miss in the rapture. I believe that. Some don't believe that. That's fine. We're not going to cross swords over that, okay? I believe that I'm going to be raptured, all believers are going to be raptured, and there's going to be 1,000 years tribulation upon this earth, and Antichrist is going to be in control, and at the end of that, it's going to be 7 years of tribulation, 7 years of tribulation. At the end of that, Jesus Christ is going to return, and he is going to establish his kingdom upon this earth for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be let loose for a bit, and then Jesus, with the word of his mouth, I think he's going to say, it's finished. It's done. It's over. And with the words of his mouth, Satan will be defeated, and Jesus will develop a new earth and a new heaven, and that will be the kingdom of God. And we will reign with him forever and ever. No sin, no pain, no death, no remorse, no hurt, no night, no dark, only with Jesus in his kingdom through eternity. I think that's what Jesus was talking about. He is so focused on the kingdom that he is saying to these disciples, look, I have longed for this Passover because I'm not doing it again until the kingdom comes. I have longed for this time with you because I'm not doing it again until we do it in the glories of heaven. I'm not doing it again until we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he is absolutely focused on the kingdom. And they're saying, but what about me? Aren't I the greatest? What about me? Aren't I the most important? What about these other guys? And in fact, this word here, when it says down in verse 23, and they begin to discuss among themselves, that word discuss actually means to investigate. They begin to investigate one another. It's kind of like maybe two or three of them are saying, I bet it's Peter, don't you? Peter. We hadn't liked him too much anyway. He's always speaking when he shouldn't. I mean, they're investigating one another. You want to get real intimate with Jesus? You want to get real intimate with the Lord? Boy, just focus on his kingdom. I tell you, brothers and sisters, there is a day coming when Jesus will reign. And the scripture says we will reign with him. The kingdom is coming. Focus on the kingdom. When you see this world going crazy, focus on the kingdom. When you see the world being idiotic, focus on the kingdom. When you see sin running rampant, focus on the kingdom. Oh, it'll make you intimate with the Lord. There's a second truth that I want us to see. Not only do we want to stay focused on the kingdom, but we just want to stay Jesus-focused. Just Jesus-focused. I mean, just kind of get tunnel vision, looking at Jesus and relating to Jesus and understanding Jesus and getting to know him more and more. Now, I want you to notice the way Jesus said this. It's very interesting. Look with me, beginning in verse 19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. All right, so you see him doing this. He's got bread, and he breaks that bread, and he gives them that bread, passes it out. Now look at what he says. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And that word "me" is emphatic. So he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." He gets real personal. Now, he goes on, and it says in the same way, verse 20, he took the cup, and after they had eaten, and said, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." So when he says in the same way in verse 20, that means for the same reason that he said what we have in verse 19, he went on to say what he said in verse 20. So in verse 19, he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he gives them the blood, he gives them the wine. "This is my blood." So in a sense, he was saying, in the same way, "Do this in remembrance of me." So I think there's a truth there for us. I think if these apostles had really started at that point remembering him, it would have been different. For you see, beloved, to remember me, that word "remember," it's not just remember my name. I have a lot of friends here this morning, and I can remember wonderful experiences with one another and God doing various things and all that. But that's not even the word "remember." It goes deeper than that. Remember me. Remember who I am. I'm God. Remember what I've taught you. Remember what I've expected of you. Remember how I've been with you. I think for me personally, the closest thing for this is for me to remember my dad. My dad's been with the Lord now for several years. Some of you knew my dad. I met a guy yesterday who knew my dad. I did a deal for a group of deacons at Quail Springs Baptist Church yesterday, and a guy came and said, "Was your dad?" My dad had been around. Bill Kirsch, W.G. Kirsch, that's my dad. But Dad was an example of godliness and holiness. Dad was a teacher. He was always teaching me. Back in the day when we had newspapers, y'all remember those days? Back in the day we had newspapers? Dad would get the Saturday paper, and he'd start reading it while Mother was fixing breakfast on Saturday morning because the kids were home. And as Dad read through the paper, he would mark things he wanted me to read. And usually it was some things about some silly teenager had done some stupid thing and gotten arrested or whatever, you know. And he'd have me read these articles out loud at the table, breakfast. And I'd read this article, and he'd say, "What'd you learn from that?" I learned you shouldn't let the cops catch you doing that, if you... That's not what I want you to learn. And he would teach, and I can just remember so many times. And the one thing that I remember about my dad is so many times I remember Dad just looking at me in the eye and saying, "Son, I want you to know something. God's been so good to us. God has been so good to us." Here a few weeks ago, Jerry and I gathered our three kids together without their mates. And I told him, "You can tell the mates what we've done when you get home." But we just sat down in our home, and we had a meal, then came to our home. And Jerry and I just sat with our three kids, our three adult kids, and we just kind of went through our life with them and where we are today and what our estate is, as small as it is, and what we want them to do and how we want them to do. And we just went through all that. If something happens to me, if something happens to Mom, here's what you do. Here's how you do also. And we got to the end, And I looked at my kids, and I reminded myself so much of my dad. I looked at our kids, and I said, kids, I want you to know something. God has been so good to us. You remember that. God has been so good to us. And our musician son, who's a worship pastor, Micah, got up and went over to Jerry's piano. And he sat down, and he just started playing. He's been so good to me. And as a family, we stood around the piano. And I've got a video of Jerry and the kids just singing, he's been so good to me. Now, why would I tell you that story? Because you'll remember it. You'll think about it. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, remember me. Remember what I've taught you. Remember how I've led you. Remember how I was with you. Remember how I delivered you. Go back to the Sea of Galilee when I called you and you left your nets and followed me. Go back to the sea when I called you and you left your father and your business and you followed me. Brothers and sisters, go back to your life when you were saved. Remember that day. Remember the day you were convicted of your sin. Remember when the Lord began to bring life to you and show you how dead you were and how you needed a Savior? Remember that day? I remember sitting in the driveway of John Nolan's house in my little 66 Mustang and said, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me? John Nolan became my father-in-law. And I've taken my children back to that spot in that driveway and said to them, this is where your daddy's life was changed. This is where Jesus Christ came into my life and changed me. And oh, I want to remember that. And I want my kids to remember that. And I want you to remember Jesus. See, that's what he's talking about. When you take the Lord's Supper and say, do this in remembrance of me, not just his name, it's who he is. Not just his name, it's he's your Lord. Your Savior, your God. Jesus was so focused on himself. In fact, I'm not going to take the time to do it, but when he took the cup, there were four cups in the Passover. And each one of them, you can study it yourself, each one of them had something to do with who he was and how he redeemed us and how he forgave us. And they would eat the bitter herbs to be reminded of the sin and the life in Egypt and how God had... There was a cup, each cup. And this particular cup was probably the second cup, which was a cup of thanksgiving. And when they took that cup and participated in that, they were saying, we are so thankful for God. And Jesus says, remember me. Remember me. Oh, beloved, if you want to stay intimate with the Lord Jesus in these very difficult days, stay Jesus focused. Now, very quickly, there's a third truth that I want you to hear this morning. Not only stay kingdom focused, and stay Jesus-focused, but stay internally focused. And I don't mean pridefully, but just really ask yourself from time to time, where am I with the Lord? God, what are you wanting to do in me? What are you wanting to change about me? See, it's so interesting when you get to verses 23 and 24. It says, and they begin to investigate among themselves. In fact, the message Bible says they became suspicious of each other and began questioning each other. They began to look at the other guy. How does he need to change? What does he need to do? What would have happened? And in fact, it's real interesting. Matthew relates that Jesus told them that one of them was going to betray him, and their response was, surely not I. What if they'd have said, me? Oh, God, not me. Don't let it be me. Oh, Lord Jesus, don't let it be me. Don't let me betray you. Don't let it be me. What if they'd internalized all that? Yes, Lord, I'll remember you. Yes, Lord, I'll stay focused on your kingdom. What if we took God's word and just poured it in us Not arrogantly, you know what I'm talking about. But what if we took those amazing words where Jesus said, as I am holy, you too be holy. Me, yes, Lord, I will live holy. Yes, Lord, I will walk with you. Men, what if we took those words from the Apostle Paul? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wow. Me, Lord, let me love my wife as Christ loved the church. Let me be the priest of her life. Let me be the prophet of her life. Let me be the protector of her life. Let me be the one who pours all good things into her. Oh, dear God, let me love her as you love me. And just young people, children, obey your parents as unto the Lord. Yes, Lord. As a Christian young person, I will obey my Christian parents. You see what would happen? What if you as a church all of a sudden took Philippians chapter 2? Don't look at it right now, you look at it later. But what if you took Philippians chapter 2 and said, that will be my life? You know what Philippians chapter 2 says? Your interests are more important to me than my interest. That's what it says. Can you imagine what a church would be? Everybody in this church said, from now on, you're more important than I am. From now on, your desires are greater than my desires. From now on, your heart is more important than my heart. Be more concerned about the interests of others than your own interests. You want to stay real intimate with the Lord during these days? Well, I'd encourage you. Stay kingdom focused. Stay Jesus focused. Stay internally focused. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, it'll make you intimate with the Lord in days that are tough and are difficult. Don't miss being intimate with the Lord. Don't miss it. Would you pray with me? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And this really is our time of response. Now listen carefully. Worship is never over until we respond. That's personal worship or corporate worship. It's never over till we respond. Sometimes that response is a public response. Sometimes it's a quiet, private response. But worship is never over till we respond. And there's some here today who need to respond to what the Lord has shown us in His Word this morning. Some here today who need to respond. There are some here in this room who don't even have a relationship with Jesus. You've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. He loves you. He died for sin. He was buried, resurrected. And He wants to be in your life. He wants to have a relationship with you. So why don't you right now tell Him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to give my life to you. I trust you. It's my Lord and my Savior. And if that's your prayer this morning, we're going to get through here in just a moment. And what I'm going to ask you to do, if that's your prayer, that's your response, when we get through, staff members will be out through this door on your left and on my right. And all you'll have to do when we're getting up to leave is walk over through that door and tell the first one you come to, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. They'll help you. They'll pray with you. Maybe there's some here and you want to unite with this church. Well, all you need to do, excuse me, all you need to do is walk through that door. Tell one of those, I'd like to be a part of this church family. They'll help you. And maybe today, you're like I was while I was driving in here this morning, kind of going through the message in my heart. Oh, Lord, don't let me miss being intimate with you. Lord, don't let me get so focused on this world that I miss your kingdom. And Lord, cause me to take your word personally. And my prayer to the Lord this morning was, Lord, don't let me just preach a sermon. Help me to live a sermon. Lord, don't let me walk into that pulpit and just preach a message. Help me to understand it's your message to me. Let me take it personally. Let me live out your holiness. Let me live close to you. And maybe that's where you are today. We'll tell that to the Lord right now, right to where you're seated. Tell him, Lord, I don't want to miss your intimacy. I don't want to miss that. And if you want to pray with one of the staff members, they'll be through that door. And you walk right over there and tell them. And they would love to pray with you. But worship is never over till we respond. So if you need to respond publicly today, that's how you do that. You walk through that door on my right and on your left. There'll be staff members there to help you. Let's pray together, all right? Our Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Lord Jesus, from my heart, I don't want to miss being intimate with you. Lord, I need your intimacy. I don't want to take another step without being close to you. And Father, I believe that's the heart of many in this room today. Oh, dear God, don't let us miss intimacy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother.
Thank you, Pastor Ted. If you would, church, please stand for our benediction. It comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless, church.